Okay. Now, if you recall, I spent a couple of weeks on who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. And so I want to finish that off today. There's a lot in it. And it's something that we really need to grab hold to as believers, because that's where we find our total identity. It's when we know exactly who we are in Christ and what's been given to us in Him. So, Hannah, if you just put the first slide back up there, and we'll just do a little bit of a recap. Slide number one. Okay, so these are the things we talked about the first week. In Christ, I am blessed or celebrated with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I am chosen and holy without blame before Him. I am adopted into sonship. I am accepted in the beloved and highly favored. Now, it's good just to take a snapshot if you want to of that, or write those things down and just remind yourself of that. This was all based in from Ephesians 1. You could read the scriptures. All right. I don't know, like, if you've been looking for podcasts, we had some technical difficulty with the website. So I think we're getting back on track soon. Is that right, Sarah? Is it still not working with the podcast side? All right. Well, we'll get that taken. We'll talk to Austin again about that. All right. And then the next slide. All right. This is what we discuss the next week, that I have redemption through His blood. I have obtained an inheritance. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee or a down payment of what is promised. I am seated with Him in heavenly places. This is amazing. I am His workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus. And we'll stop there with the slides for now, Hannah. All right, so we're going to take it on from there, and we're going to move from Ephesians into some other portions of Scripture. And the first one we're going to look at this morning is found in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 to 28. I love this verse, and we sang about it in this last song. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. I'm just putting it all in context, reading what goes before or after. Now, this is the verse. For in Him we live and move and have our being. We've been singing, He's the breath in our lungs. In Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. And that verse there, in verse 28 in the Passion Translation, you don't have this, Hannah. The Passion Translation is, it is through Him that we live and function and have our identity. That is a big deal, in this culture we live in. Because don't let anything tell you or make your identity other than who you are in Christ. Don't let anything else determine your identity. It's not your family, not your career, not your achievements, your successes, your failures, your weaknesses, your strengths. None of that determines your identity. In Him, we live and move and have our being. And, you know, I've been reading a lot about Ash Barty, who is our great Australian female tennis player, who is currently world number one. And she has one of her mentors on her team is a mindset coach. And he and her coach have attributed her success this year to a couple very important key things. And one of them is, the mindset coach said, that she has come to the point now where she knows who she is. And what she does is play tennis, but that's not who she is. And I thought, what a revelation. Because she's come to it now that there will be imperfect days, but the imperfections don't define her. and it's not her identity. Neither is it when she has successes. That's not her identity either, but who she is and not what she does. And that has become the biggest thing in her life that she's able to accept and move on. Whether she wins or loses, she knows that's not her identity. It's what she does. And let me tell you, your career is not your identity. Your achievements is not your identity. It might be what you do, but it's not your identity. We find it in Christ. In Him, we live, we move, we exist. None of us would be if it wasn't for Him. Nobody would be. So without God, really, we can do nothing. And I know a lot of people think they can, especially people who don't know God, think, why do I need God? But they're breathing. If they weren't breathing, they could do nothing. And their breath of life comes from God. Whether they want to know it or not, whether they believe it or not, in Him we live and move and have our being and our existence. And you know, that should give you hope and confidence that it's not what you do or what you can or cannot do, but it's who He is and who He is through you. Let that be your motivating force in life. Find out who you are and know who you are in Him, and not let it be just what you do. That's not your identity. Okay, we're going to move fairly quickly through these. All right, and the second one, 2 Corinthians 1:20 to 22. I love this. I love all these because, you know, it gives us confidence. For all the promises, everybody say all. All the promises. All of God in Him. There's the key. All the promises of God in Him are no, are yes. And in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us. And I want to do just the next two following verses. Now He who establishes with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has, here it is again that we learned in the first week, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Guarantee of what? Guarantee of all His promises. Let me tell you, you need to grab this phrase and make it a part of your prayer life. If you would pray, when you're believing God for something, you are praying, you find that promise. Grab this phrase, this verse that says, in Him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Grab that in your prayer life and say, well, God, this is a promise of You. This is what You've said. I'm going to grab it. And I'll tell you, it will build confidence in prayer. Let me read to you what it says in the New Living. Hannah, if you could put that up. I'm just going to read it from here in case it's different from that. It says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Who's in Christ? Okay. So all of God's promises have already been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, all right, so I like this, through Christ, meaning He gives us the ability, through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory. I'll just stop there for a second before I read the rest of it. So Paul is saying here, really, it's our amen is added to it. Okay, so the power comes from the Holy Spirit, the Word, of course, Jesus Christ is the Word. We grab the Word, the power comes from the Holy Spirit. We add our faith to it by saying amen. Amen, which means yes or so be it. So when you see a promise of God, it's yes. God says it's yes, and you say, so be it. It's yes. I declare it. to be so. Sometimes we just never take it and use our mouths. We think it in our head. You know, it will build confidence if you speak it out. Say that promise. I'm telling you, it builds confidence. It's meant to be said. Our amen is meant to be joined with this and spoken out. And then it'll, back to the next verse after that, Hannah. Yes. And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment of everything he will give us. Is that the last one? Yeah. As a first installment, I think mine says it a little bit different. That's why I'm going to read it. Hold on. He has commissioned us and has identified us as his own, placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees, I like this says, everything he has promised us. So he's given us the promises. They're all yes and they're all amen. We say the amen. We declare it to be so. And like we learned before, the Holy Spirit is in there, is the guarantee that the promises are yes and amen. We've got it all. He's given us the whole package in Christ. I cannot stress how much, how important it is to abide in him. Because when you abide in him, you're hearing from him, you're drawing from him, and not just your own strength and your own ideas and your own whatever. You know, remember, in him we live and move and have our being. We need to draw from him. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee of all this. You know, God has the power to do so many things and does so many things, but would do so much more and often doesn't do things because we're not speaking it and doing our amen and saying, yes, let it be so. And, you know, instead of, we all do it. We all complain. You know, Chuck and I were talking, he said something similar to this morning when we were home. We complain, we say the negative, and we forget to say what the amen is, what the yes is of the promise. You know, we keep saying the problem. But remember, all his promises are yes and amen. It may not have happened yet, but it is to come. It will come if we put our so be it to his promise. Amen? Okay, next one. I'll read mine again. Colossians 2:2-3 in the New Living. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. And then here's the verse. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow. In him. How many treasures? All of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I read an interesting stat. I'm going to read it to you. A technology stat. Now, this was 2018, so it's probably, you know, blown out even more than that, okay? In 2018, all right, there were over a billion websites, okay? Every second, now, not every minute, not every hour, every second, all right, lock this in, every second there's 40,000 Google searches. Every second. What's the look back there? Huh? Well, like I said, this is 2018. All right. I thought every second, that's quite, you know. And every second, 2 million, he's going to check on me. Look, I can't remember this, where I got it from, but I got it from somewhere. Good grief. Every second, you get the idea, right? Every second, 2 million emails are sent. You want to check that one too? Is it more or less? Thank you. Am I the bomb? As Cherry would say. Okay. All right. So we got over a billion websites. Every second, 40,000 Google searches. Every second, 2 million emails are sent. And 6,000 tweets. What's that tell you about people wanting information and knowledge? But the problem is, you know, people are hungry for this stuff, but it's impossible, isn't it, to know what's true and what's misleading. Case in point, my children thought I might have been misled by the information I found on Google. Okay? It's true and misleading, but there is one. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay? And if that word treasures means deposits or wealth. Remember, the Holy Spirit's living in you, and he has deposited all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in you, in Christ. It's deposited in you. But, you know, it's deep within your spirit. And I think Proverbs, I think it's 20, verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man runs deep, but a man of understanding draws it out. All right? There's a guy that, you know, we heard about in one of the, someone's sermon. It might have been Kenneth Copeland years ago, whatever. Anyway, I Googled this too, so I couldn't remember his name. And his name is Henry Taylor Howard. And he was the man who invented the first home satellite dish. And he was a Christian, and he was a scientist for NASA and an engineer. And nobody could work it out. And God gave him the plan. Why? Because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. You know, don't think you're so smart that you can come up with these things. Like, if you're being promoted at work or whatever, please give God the glory, because he's giving you that ability, and he puts that wisdom and that understanding and that knowledge in you. This is exactly what it means. The treasures is the deposit or wealth. Wisdom is Sophia wisdom, which is the highest form of worldly or spiritual wisdom. Okay, so when you have that wisdom, that treasure in you, you have the highest form of knowing spiritual wisdom and worldly wisdom. But the man of understanding draws it out. Draws it out. And then the knowledge actually means this is what made me think about this man and made me go hunt for him again. Knowledge actually means understanding science. You know, people think God's against science. Understanding, this is what knowledge means. Understanding science, perception, surety, and full discernment. Only God could give him that understanding and science how to make that dish work. And that perception we need in life, you know, to know. And you know how you get that feeling that something's not quite right here? I better not go here. I better not go there. All that, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all are in him. Who's in him? Who has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? We do. Okay. Now the last two are kind of, I think, kind of wrap it up type verses. They're great. The first one is, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How much? All the fullness. Okay. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. That word, you are complete in him, means you're furnished, verified, finished, accomplished, filled up, and crammed full. That's exactly what it means. Crammed full. You are perfect. He sees you perfect in him. If all the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Christ, all the fullness of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Think about it. That's amazing. Rests in Christ, in him. If we are in him, all that fullness, we rest in that fullness. We have access to that fullness of all the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are complete. Don't let anybody tell you that you're incomplete or you're not cutting it. Don't let anybody tell you. In him, you are complete. And, you know, we sang, he who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are. He's already seen your completion. He's already seen your end. He knows everything is good for you in him. He knows it. He doesn't bring tragedy. I know life does, but he doesn't bring bad things. In him, you are complete. Your personality is complete. Your life is complete. Your relationships are complete in him. In him. Your talents, everything is complete in him. It's, again, focusing in on getting our identity, not from what people say about us or think about us, but what God says about us. So important. If I can just encourage you to study what God says about you. You know, just even take these things, and we'll put the slides up again at the end, and take them down and just let it speak to you. You know, get the scriptures and let it speak to you. Okay, so in him, nothing is lacking. Every need, great and small, it's met. All right, and then the final verse, love this. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16. Now thanks be to God who always... How many times? I like all these all things and always. Who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Sometimes, you know, we kind of think, why didn't this work? Because we weren't doing it in Christ with his knowledge and his wisdom or whatever. We're going off on our own thing, okay? But in Christ, he always leads us in triumph. And through us, this is like the word we had this morning, Sue Ellen, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? You know, it's a very unusual verse. But let me tell you, there's a time coming where we're really going to see triumph. And I found something else. It's a custom. This, where Paul talks about this leads in triumph, it is a custom of the Roman armies. And I just jotted it down because I didn't want to remember it all because it's too good. So it's a custom of the Roman armies, and this is what he was referring to. The army dispatched a herald to Rome to announce the good news of victory. So actually, herald it or preach it. When the people heard the cry of the herald, they began making preparation for the triumphal procession. What's that sound like? Special incense was used, there's our aroma, so that as the people smelled the aroma, they would know the procession was coming. Let me tell you, your aroma in this world is going to let people know the procession's coming. The celebration resulted in thousands of people lining the streets of Rome, waiting for their hero general and his army to parade through the town. The general appeared in a gold-plated chariot drawn by white horses. Don't you just love it? Paul was really a very clever writer. Very clever. Officers of the defeated army, now get this, the officers of the defeated army were chained behind the general's chariot and would be executed. Behind them, the rank and file of the defeated army marched to be enslaved to Rome. The chains represented the power of the hero general. The people cheered, especially when they saw their defeated enemies. Let me tell you, it may look like our culture's winning.
It's not.
It may look like the world is winning. It may look like the enemy is winning. But in Christ, he always leads us to triumph. He is coming. Let me tell you, it is getting closer. And I know people say, oh, I've been saying that for years. He is coming, because if he doesn't, this world will self-destruct completely. And there is going to be a great possession. I mean, yes, the enemy will be chained. Thank God Satan will be bound and chained for 1,000 years. You know, and just imagine that peace that's on this earth with Christ and reign. My goodness, you know, hard to imagine. But he always, always leads us in triumph. Always. Never forget that. Stay in Christ. And Hannah, if you just put all the slides up again from back to one, I want you to stand up with me. And we're going to say them all right? Try and get them in your spirit. Hold on. Have a drink. And if I could have, you know, the band come up in a second. All right, everybody together. I am blessed or celebrated with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I am chosen and holy without blame before him. I am adopted into sonship. I am accepted in the beloved. Highly favored. I have redemption through his blood. I have obtained an inheritance. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee or down payment of what is promised. I am seated with him in heavenly places. I am his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. I live and move and have my being. In Christ, all his promises are yes and amen. I have all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am complete. I always triumph. Isn't that awesome? I'll tell you, until you put it in your face, you know these things, but until you put it in your face, it's something that excite you. I want to sing that Cloudy, my breath, the one, he's the breath in my lungs, sorry. So, usually you know what I'm talking about.